The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about corn and soybean harvest, kind of, you know, what the season looked like, maybe talk a little bit about cover crop planting considerations. But good topic today, I think. So I'm Scott Graham, an entomologist. Got Dr. Simmer Vert, Dr. Eros Francisco, and Dr. David Russell. How's it going, guys?
Good. Glad to be here.
Glad to be here, too.
Good to have you guys with us today.
Well, let's talk about corn, soybeans, and a little bit wheat
today. Yeah, let's do it.
So, Eros, why don't you give us also a little bit of how the season look this year for corn and beans across the state?
Okay, so let's start looking at 2023 acreage for corn and soybeans and wheat. So when last year we had 330-ish thousand acres of corn, about 350,000 acres of soybeans, and close to 200,000 acres of wheat. We have seen a major decrease in acreage for wheat. Going down to close to 100,000 acres. Corn was down to 280, and soybeans up a little bit to 360. So that was not, this year, 2024, was not a good year regarding perspective of profitability for corn. Although the season started very well, I think the spring was good. We had soil moisture, we had nice temperatures, and then things started to fall apart in June and July and most of August without significant rain all over the state. I think that was when corn perspective was really damaged. Pollination and then filling the kernels was pretty hit by drought then. But I was frustrated because I was seeing a potential yield being built in the spring for corn. Everything was looking good so far.
So we can say drought being the number one factor this year that affected our corn crop?
Yes. I like to show a slide that Dr. Billow from Illinois. He puts together the seven wonders of the corn world, and number one is weather with 27% of yield participation. And absolutely, we can see that happening not only this year, but last year too. And also a little bit in 2022, if you remember, parts of the state, especially the north, was pretty bad hit by the weather. So there's not much that we can do about managing weather unless we have some kind of irrigation. And we could see that this year, 24, even though with irrigation, some folks could not keep up with the drought, even trying to run the pivot many times, and you cannot keep up with the soil moisture that the plant needs to function well and set the yields. So that was a frustration for us.
Because water capacity is also a limitation in the state.
Yes, absolutely. And also, the evapotranspiration is too high. When you have high temperatures and very low humidity, without rain, without the help of a weekly rain or 10 days in between rains, it's hard to keep up with only irrigation. And I remember driving to a meeting in South Carolina. I drove through all the north of Georgia, and I remember seeing cotton fields suffering, even though they had irrigation, they could not keep up with soil moisture, even there. So it was rough for us regarding corn. So, and now we are hearing numbers all over the place. I have seen and I have heard people saying 20 bushel corn up to 160, 180 bushel corn. So it depends where in the state. It depends the soil management, the soil fertility, the type of hybrid that they grew. but the yields are all over the place. So this is not good for our economy. This is not good for farming. We need to hope for a better rain next year. Now, shifting to soybeans, soybeans were also looking good in the beginning. Plant stand was very nice. Plant height was very nice, adequate. It was setting pods were good, but then just filling the pods were the problem. That's where the weather started to play a role, and the drought, and also some diseases start to show up. We have seen aerial blight, Cercospora, rust in parts of the state. Even in the central part of the state, we could see some rust. And then stink bugs started to show up. So that was a chaotic scenario for grain quality. And now we are hearing from many parts of the state, farmers complaining about grain quality in soybeans. So that was a hurricane that came for soybean. Not a hurricane, I mean, I don't mean the weather.
Not an actual hurricane.
Yeah, not an actual.
But a hurricane of bad situations.
But just a domino of events, the drought, the diseases, and the insects.
Not to mention poor prices.
Not to mention prices. Now, so we need to try to sell a poor quality grain and low yield with soybean under $10 a bushel.
And high input costs.
High input costs. So it's going to be interesting to see how we're going to do in 2025 regarding what type of crop management practices we're going to adopt and how the prices are going to be. I have been looking the prices, and I don't think we're gonna see a rebound in prices, not significantly. We may go up a little bit and then stabilize in soybeans close to 10, 11 the most, corn around 5, 5.50, perhaps, and wheat is gonna be low too. So commodity prices don't look good now, and I'm not sure they're going to be looking good in 25. So that's why we decided to go ahead and set a good agenda for the next edition of the Row Crop Short Course, focusing on managing the risk of farming in 25. So we're going to have good speakers talking about financial situation, commodity prices, and also agronomic tips for managing the crops in 25.
For our audience, can you tell when is it and where, to be exact?
Yes, so the next edition is going to be in Huntsville this year, in North Alabama, January 21st and 22nd, 21st starting at 1 p.m.
And that's in conjunction kind of with the corn and soybean meeting they're already having?
Yes, we are going to have they're going to have the Alabama Corn and Soybean Association meeting in the morning of the 21st, and then we're going to follow up with them on in the afternoon. So that's going to be a very nice partnership with the association, and also try to gather as many farmers as we can. So everyone is invited. And registration is open. Look for the link in aces.edu. Just Google up Alabama Row Crop Short Course, and you're going to see the link, and please register and attend the meeting.
What do you think about arrows next year? My guess is probably more soybeans, less corn, maybe less cotton too. You know, soybeans tends to be a crop where your floor is the highest, if you will. So less inputs than most everything else. So maybe, you know, it's a little bit easier economically to do. And then David, if that's true, how does that impact maybe plant back restrictions? Are there any with that, if you're, you know, maybe moving some ground that you weren't planning on moving, you know, with weed control carryover, or, you know, maybe some post-harvest burn down or stuff like that? Probably not a lot of that happening, but any thoughts there on that, anybody?
Well, before David touched on the weed management, I think, yes, soybean will take some of the corn acreage if prices remain the same. I think it's hard to make a good yield corn if you don't have a good perspective with profitability. Soybean is, I like to say that soybean is more rustic than corn. It takes less inputs and yields better without much of the inputs than corn. So I think soybean may take some of the corn acreage next year. And to increase even more soybean acreage, the point will be how good cotton prices are for 25. If cotton prices remain poor or low, then soybean will take some of the cotton acreage, perhaps. That's my view.
Yeah, I think folks are going to have to make some hard decisions and probably take a good hard look at what may be what they would consider a non-essential. You know, so are they going to start kind of cutting off of weed management, or is it going to be insect management or fertility? So just to break even and think about making profits. And I think soybeans, as you mentioned, is a good way to do that from the start. Not to add insult to injury, but there is talk of dicamba possibly not returning next year. Yeah. Too. So that's probably going to play a huge part in their decisions next year. The trait platforms are still going to be there in the seed technology, but there's some talk of the actual product not being labeled and available, so that could cause some issues there. Hopefully,
so this year, I guess the latest news was that use whatever is in stock. Is that, can you?
That's okay. Right. Okay. Yeah, back early in the season, there was an order telling folks just to use the rest of existing stocks. There was going to be no more production of the dicamba products. And so, and that kind of all coincides with the Endangered Species Act and the ESA work plan that's been working through the EPA. They're going back and looking at those pesticides that are up for re-registration. They're reworking a lot of those labels to meet those EPA and ESA requirements. And even though this may sound like a far-off idea, it is coming home to really impact us locally on the farm and how we use pesticides and other products for crop protection now and in the future. It's really going to impact us, I think. And so we're beginning to see that with the talk of dicamba possibly not returning for next season. I'm not saying that's going to be the fact, because we've got several months before next season, but it's not looking promising for that to return as a tool over the top of those dicamba tolerant cotton and soybean crops. So thinking about weed control, you know, folks have to know the history of their fields and what they expect to be problematic pests in the form of weeds. And so think proactively, using those soil residuals, taking advantage of the early season moisture to activate some of those soil residuals for longer season weed control, rather than relying on mid-season over-the-top post-emergence treatments when we historically have turned dry. You know, those just simply don't work, and we don't want folks throwing their money away for something that's not going to work.
Absolutely. So considering the weed control situation, crop prices situation, we are here 1st of November. When do growers start thinking about all this to make sure that they have a plan for next year before it's too late for them to, you know, move some stuff around crop acreage wise?
Yeah, I mean, I think now obviously would be a good time to begin thinking of that. You know, I'm thinking about the high profile weeds like ryegrass. We don't want annual ryegrass or Italian ryegrass to be a big competitor going into a crop, especially if somebody's considering corn. Mm-hmm. Next spring, take advantage of controlling that now through the winter months and early spring months before we get close to the time of corn planting or even soybean planting. Goosegrass was also a big one in season in crops and cotton and peanuts last year, where we just could not control that specific species. So thinking about what may be in the future, what some of those big ticket high-profile weed species and other pests may be, I think now is a good time to begin thinking about that.
Well, following up with that perspective too, now is the time to select your varieties. And for both corn and soybeans, variety is the top two or three factors impacting yield. So I would say search your next variety. Don't try to test new varieties that you are not used to. You don't know how they perform in your fields. Stick with the varieties that you know. If you need further information, visit Auburn University Variety Testing website. Check the performance of the varieties. Don't try new stuff if you don't know how they perform in your field.
Or put a very small acreage as a test block or something.
Yeah, right? I wouldn't say 20. If the prices remain as they are,
don't even test anything.
That's not the year for tests, right? That's the year to be consistent. And consistency is you do your homework, you know what you can do in your field, so stick with that. If I may suggest some other tips, would be soil fertility. For soybean, if you know your soil fertility is good, I would perhaps try to cut back on phosphorus if you have high levels in your soil, but I would not suggest potassium cutbacks, because potassium is essential for disease control as well. There is a good correlation with potassium levels in the plant and disease tolerance. So I would stick with a good rate of potassium if that is possible. For corn, nitrogen is the nutrient to carry a lot of yield. So do what you can regarding nitrogen application. If you know your fields, make sure that you do have a good response to nitrogen in some of them. If you know that you have a good history of soil organic matter working and being mineralized, perhaps adjust the rate in those fields. But don't try to change much of your management next year. Be consistent with the one you know that works.
Follow the basics.
We're gonna have, that's the forecast right now, we're gonna have a warmer winter. That means some diseases are gonna find a bridge over the winter, perhaps, and insects as well. So we may start seeing diseases earlier next year and insects as well showing up earlier next year. I hope not. That's not what I hope, but that's what a warmer winter means, right?
Well, you know, Aris, outside of the red-banded stink bug, I don't know that weather plays much of a role for us in insects. Most of the bugs that we deal with are pretty well adapted to our environment anyway, right? You know, we get asked a lot, oh, cold winter, we're going to have less bugs, and it really doesn't, there's not much correlation. So I don't know that will be as big of an issue, except for red bandage, which we certainly had out there in some places up through central Alabama, and that was a big deal. And the people who are used to fighting getting it, they, I think we know what we're doing, but it's very challenging. But I wanted to ask you about, what about trying to alter our planting dates specifically for soybeans to maximize our yield potential? You know, back home in the Mid-South, they really pushed the early soybean production system. Here, soybeans are traditionally kind of overall a later planted thing, right? We get our corn in, we get our cotton in, peanuts, and then soybeans. So should we prioritize maybe those earlier planting windows for soybeans this year to try to maximize that? Because it's all about getting rainfall right when you're filling pods, developing seed. Do you spread it out a little bit to spread your risk out? What do you think there?
Well, there's different strategies that we can follow. I I agree with you. If we get all the literature and the data that we have, it's good to plant early corn and soybeans. If you're doing soybeans, you can manage the maturity group. So if you're going to plant early, it's good to stick with the early maturity group. If you have to plant a little bit ahead of the planting early time, then change to something more late. And so if you're sticking with a 3.8 or a 4.2 variety, and you need to plant late in April or May, you can progress to a 4.5 or a 5 and 5.2, depending where you are in the state. There are very good data set from North Carolina showing the early maturity groups, they yield better when planted early. And if you progress in the calendar, then you switch to a 5 or a 6. So they perform better when planted late. For corn, it kind of doesn't matter much about the maturity group. So if you can't start planting in March, early March until late March, but everything is going to be decided in July, June, when the weather starts to play the effect. So even though you have a very good planting date and you have a very good stand and you have all the plants performing very well in the spring, then when summer comes, that's when you have the trouble. But if you can't manage the maturity group in soybeans, that's what I would do. I would do if you can, a early planting with maturity groups low, like 4s, and then progress. If you have to progress to another variety, try to progress to later maturity groups.
Yeah, I mean that's good advice. I think with cotton coming out of 23, kind of my advice, which is always free, especially agronomic advice from an entomologist, is certainly free. But my advice was try to spread your risk out. You can plant cotton over a pretty wide window, and if you do that, you're lowering your risk of devastation across the crop. You're also lowering your ceiling, right? But you're certainly moving the floor up, and there's something to that. And so maybe that's something. Corn, obviously, is we kind of know when corn needs to be planted. But beans, we've got the opportunity to spread it out there, and we know we're going to hit a dry patch. We know, I think Blake Lanton told me he went to a meeting earlier this week with NRCS, and they said that 7% of our harvested row crops were irrigated in 2022. And so we know 93% of our crop is highly susceptible to a drought that is going to come at some point during the season, and you just don't want it to be during that critical period, whatever your crop is. So the more you have out there at varying levels, the more that risk is spread out.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't mean to plant all the soybeans in a week.
Yeah.
You can't do that, because if you plant all your soybeans in a week, you're going to harvest in a week, and nobody can do that.
And I wasn't saying you were saying that. The point of my question was just about, I feel like most of our soybeans are probably planted in May, but let's try to maybe get some out there in April and maybe still do some later beans, even if we're not double cropping them, just to spread risk out.
So I was following something on Twitter. I think Ohio State's looking at, and I think there was even a question, or because they got two specialists competing against each other, should corn go first or bean go first, all that. So that's just, I was just thinking when you're saying that, is that a possibility here for us to put
even plant beans before corn?
Yeah.
Well, it is a possibility. I myself don't have the experience with that to say do it.
My guess would be, in our environment, being a week late on corn is probably a lot bigger penalty than it is in their environment.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. You brought up a very good point. Being late with corn is it hits your yield more than it hits being early with soybeans.
I mean, you hit a certain date, right, and you're losing 3, 4, 5 bushels a day.
Yeah.
And so if you're 5 days late, you're 20 bushels off just from planting day.
Well, that's interesting, Scott. We just had some data showing that if you lose plant stand in corn, you are not going to be losing yield as much as you do if you start having late planting dates. So you may lose plants, but you are going to be damaging your yield more if you plant late.
So the penalty for planting late is higher than having a little less stand.
A little less stand, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
So and soybeans, you need to use different varieties with different maturity groups to spread out your harvesting time, right? And that's how you manage your risk as well.
David, I see you got some topics over there. What else do you think important this time of at this point in the season or where we are?
Well, these are just my scratch notes for active ingredients going into wheat. But if folks are not planting as many acres of wheat, the herbicides over here may not be that important. But no, I was just thinking in reference to my notes over here, if we did get on the conversation of wheat, you know, I was thinking of the high priority weeds, the high profile weeds and the biggest competitors out there. Number one, as we've mentioned, being Italian ryegrass, whether going into the spring planted crops or especially the fall planted crops, the small grains. That was one of our biggest ones that we absolutely need to put some effort in controlling, because if we don't get that specific species under control, then it could be detrimental. So again, it goes back to the history of our fields, what we expect to be out there, and being proactive in timing. Putting something like the Zidua or peroxisulfone-based products out there. Fortunately for us in Alabama this past season, we've been successful at getting a 24C supplemental label allowing us to use Anthem Flex applied pre-emergence to wheat. That's the first one we've had to coincide with other states who have already had this label. Peroxisulfone is the backbone of a lot of this grass residual weed control, especially for small grains. It's also available for us in soybeans too. So if we're trying to control grasses, I'd say that is a product that's probably most successful for that control. But again, it needs to be out there early prior to seed germination of that Italian ryegrass weed. And so the Anthem Flex pre or the Zidua early post or delayed pre. I think right now with the dry conditions, you know, I don't know how many acres are being planted in wheat right now, but I would feel pretty safe that if they can find any moisture for wheat seed germination and then the Zidua is applied or any other peroxisulfone-based products are applied, we're generally safe as far as crop safety. I think the biggest risk for wheat injury is when we get a rainfall right after herbicide application, as that seed is imbibing water and starting to germinate. If the first drink of that seed intake is high concentration of herbicide, that's when we get the biggest risk. So if we can get seed germination and then activation of herbicide in that order, that's when we see the best weed control and crop safety.
And I do think we got a little bit of rain across the state yesterday. I don't know
North Alabama
how much or where, if it was enough to help or not. But
yeah, I was really jealous of our friends in Mississippi. I looked at the radar yesterday afternoon as I was going out trick-or-treating with my kids, and the whole state of Mississippi is green.
Yep. So yeah, my dad said back home, or my granddad told me, that the mayor had moved Halloween for the kids to Wednesday night instead of Thursday because of the threat of rain. so we need it. I kept telling them not to hog it all, to send some over here, but yeah. I don't know how much made it. All right, guys. Well, enjoyed it today. Good conversation. Appreciate our listeners tuning in every week. As always, if any of us can ever be of any help, please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know.
And I also wanted to mention that if you guys want any certain topics to be covered,
absolutely,
please let us know so that way we can bring the right person, you know, or a team of people here to answer those questions.
Absolutely.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.